Someday when my last line is written, someday when I've drawn my last breath, when my last words on earth have been spoken, and my lips are sealed in death, don't look on my cold form in pity. Don't think of me as one dead. It'll just be the house I once lived in. My spirit by then will have fled. I'll finish my time here alone, but I won't be in darkness alone. I will have heard from heaven the summons to come on home. And when my body is in the grave, don't think that I'll be there. I won't be dead but living in the place Jesus went to prepare. And after all is said and done, know that my last earnest prayer is that my loved ones be ready someday to meet me there.
All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. And we're just going to talk a little bit today about the character and nature of God, more specifically, his moral nature, including his righteousness and justice. But I wanted to start in Romans chapter 1 first, beginning in verse number 19. And the Bible says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." And I just want to kind of end it right there. I'm talking about the character and nature of God. In other words, what is our understanding of God? What do we know about God? And the knowledge that we have of God, what are we basing that on? Are we basing that on what the Bible teaches concerning God, or are we getting our understanding or our knowledge concerning theology from sources other than the Bible? And I think this is very important, particularly in this day and age where there's a great falling away and where our understanding of God and things theological are being defined by the world. I think this gets very important because of the skewed concept that the unregenerate or the lost in the world have. For example, I have heard it said that God is the big guy in the sky. He's easygoing. He's tolerant of all religions and peoples. He's accepting of all, regardless of their backgrounds, non-judgmental, and so forth. I really believe this, that as American Christianity drifts further and further away from the Word of God as an authority in their lives and in the local New Testament church, the more distorted will be their concept of God, and their view of the atonement will also be warped. It is important, I believe, in these latter days to return back to Bible basics, particularly as it relates to the character and nature of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, God cannot deny himself. And so In other words, God would not or could not do anything that would contradict his moral nature. Therefore, God can only provide a means of salvation that is consistent with his moral nature. And that is why it is important to understand biblically what is meant by God's moral nature. Now, there's a lot of areas that I could cover here, and I might do that in future podcasts, but right now, just understand that, number one, God is righteous and just. Psalm 89, verse 14, declares that his throne will be established in justice and righteousness. God acts out of his righteousness and judgment. You can't separate the two. If God is righteous, then it would naturally follow that his judgment will also be righteous. Abraham asked, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 25. Now, because God is just and righteous, he establishes his throne in the same manner. He cannot allow sin to go unpunished, and that is bad news for the unregenerate. Now listen, he does righteous judgment because he is the standard of righteousness. God is the standard of righteousness. He cannot but do righteousness, and that's part of his immutable character, his unchanging character. Now, he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Okay, so there is a penalty to be paid for sin. So the unregenerate have really only two options. One, they can continue on their path now and slip into a Christless eternity. Just do nothing. Continue to reject the offer that God has for them for eternal life, the gift through the Lord Jesus Christ of salvation. Continue to reject him and slip into a Christless eternity. Now, on the other side of that, we have God's perfect plan, God's perfect substitute. And again, bear in mind, this is a result of his perfect righteousness and his perfect justice. Now, God can't do anything contrary to his nature, and therefore, because he sees the need of man in terms of redemption and being born again, he sent forth his Son to take our punishment and our sin. In other words, to stand in our place and take what we rightfully and justly deserved. Now, there are no other substitutes. So in other words, angels can't save you, animals can't save you, your self-righteous works can't save you. We're not saved by our works of righteousness, we're saved by grace through faith. Your church can't save you, your baptism can't save you, no pope or priest or pastor or denomination can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of God's holy and righteous law. Jesus Christ is our perfect substitute. He perfectly satisfied the demands of God's law. He offered up himself as a living sacrifice for us, the unregenerate. He paid that ultimate price, become sin for us, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day. That is your only other option. And the rest of that verse in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3 talks about Jesus dying for our sin, according to the scriptures, being buried, and rose again on the third day. And of course, seen of many witnesses, including 500 of the brethren, at once. God looked down from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And I'll close with the words of Christ, "Believest thou this?" Take care and have a great evening.